Good morning, everyone. I am so happy to be here today. I'm just like beaming right now from my heart to my face. And when I was invited to speak about a little bit about authenticity today and talk a little bit about being trans, I got really excited because I love talking about being trans and I love being trans. And that's just what I'm going to do. So why don't we jump into it? I have a bit of news that I want to share. First thing is today is my 6-week anniversary. So 6 weeks ago, I had top surgery. It was called chest reconstructive surgery. Essentially, I had a double mastectomy, and I had my breasts removed to surgically transform my chest into a more masculine chest. And this is part of something that I call a transition. I'm transitioning and changing my body to align my body with my gender. So what it means to be trans to me is that I was born with a certain body and my internal sense of gender is fundamentally different from the body that I have. So part of transitioning is that I'm trying to bring those two closer together. And I got a little bit closer 6 weeks ago and now I'm recovered and I'm feeling healthy, happy, and well. And I want to share with you more stories about this transition that I've been going through. I know I haven't been here in about a year or so, and I probably look really different to some of you who maybe knew me back then. I've also changed my name. I go by Asa now, and I use they, them pronouns. And some of the stories that I'm going to share in just a few moments, you may be a little bit confused by some of the things that I say, and you may hear words, hear me talk about things that you've never heard before. And you may have a lot of questions. You may already have a burning question like, is this person in front of me a man or a woman? And what kind of gender do they identify as? And all those questions are super valid, and I want to answer them all. And I'm going to stick around after the service to do just that. But for right now, I want to focus a little less on explaining myself and more just on being myself. So, as I said before, I'm trans. I think I've probably said it about 5 or 6 times now. I'm also non-binary. So what that means is that my gender is neither a man nor a woman. I kind of float around in this sort of middle space. I'm a very ambiguous person, and I really like it that way. But it's hard for me to exist as an ambiguous person in this world that kind of wants me to just fit into a particular box. I kind of have to check the M or the F, or I have to go into the bathroom with the stalls where a person's wearing a dress, or where it's just like a straight person, right? I have to pick the men or the women's bathroom. And I always knew that I was trans, even though I'm kind of presented these constant images in our culture that show me that it's not okay to be trans and that this isn't really something that someone should be. I always knew deep down that even though I had a body that didn't really feel like it fit, that I was not a woman and that I was something a little more complicated or a little different. And so because I was so worried about being myself and so afraid to accept who I was in this culture that we live in that's pretty transphobic, I denied who I was for 18 years. I'm 19 now, so it's only been a year since I really started questioning my identity and listening to some of these deep desires that I felt for so long that told me that I really liked wearing boys' clothes, right? I lived pretty unhappily for about 18 years until about a year ago when I started questioning all that and I cut my hair short and I started wearing boys' clothes and I started feeling pretty good about that. And at first, my attraction towards this sort of more masculine me was really terrifying and I was really scared to be myself. I was kind of admitting this secret that I had kept down for so long. But if you have ever tried to keep a secret from someone, or if you've ever had a secret that you've kept to yourself, you know how impossible it is to keep it quiet, right? It's something that eats away at you, and you just want it to kind of bubble up to the top, and then you can share it with the whole world. And if you've ever met me, you know that I share everything about myself with everyone. I actually have been writing a blog recently about my experiences as a trans person, so I literally publish my life on the internet. It's a fun thing that I like to do, happy pastime. So as I was starting to recognize the secret that I felt and starting to kind of let it boil up to the top, I found myself also becoming happier and happier and more comfortable with who I was. You know, I remember for years growing up, wanting to look like a woman and be like a woman so that I could really be happy, so that I could fit in and prove to everyone that I was this, like, normal, box-fitting person. And so I tried that for a while. I tried wearing skinny jeans. I tried growing my hair long. And every morning when I would wake up and look in the mirror, I looked really wrong. And I felt really unhappy with that. And then when I started wearing men's clothes about, what, like 9 months ago, I remember waking up for the first time one morning and feeling excited to get dressed in the morning. And I used to feel so terrified of putting on my pants and having them fit so tightly around my hips. But all of a sudden, I was like, wait a minute, I get to pick out the outfit that I get to wear today. Like, I get to put on these kick-ass suspenders that I bought at the store the other day. Like, I felt really excited about it for the first time. So I kind of listened to that excitement, and so then I went another step further. And then I was thinking to myself, like, well, gosh, I have pretty large breasts, and I'm pretty insecure about them. And so I bought this thing called a chest binder. And a chest binder is essentially a garment that you fit snugly over your torso, and it compresses your breasts into your chest. And so I bought this binder, and I was like, well, I don't know if this is going to work for me, but maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll like how I look with a flat chest. And the first time that I tried on a binder, I was so happy with how I looked that I tried on every single shirt that I own that moment. Like it was 12 p.m., and I tried on this binder, and then I was like, oh, I got to try this more. So I went, every single shirt that I own, I tried it on to see how it looked in the mirror. And I was so overjoyed about that. So I dug into that. I was like, well, this joy has to be coming from somewhere, right? I feel like I'm being more me, and it's making me really happy. So what am I going to do next, right? I kind of had this, like, chain reaction going in my life. So then I started to think about, cutting my hair short, right? So I started cutting my own hair, and I cut my own hair every 2 weeks to keep it nice and neat. And then I started thinking about top surgery, and I started to think about, well, like, if I really like the way that I look with a flat chest, maybe it makes sense for me to make that a permanent thing so that I don't have to wear this garment all the time and I don't have to, you know, take it off at the end of the day. It's also pretty unhealthy to bind. It's not a very long-term healthy thing to do to your body. So that's when I started thinking about top surgery. And the more I thought about top surgery, the more excited I got about top surgery. And then I got so excited that I couldn't keep it from anyone anymore. So I called my parents and I was like, I'm getting the surgery done, and I'm getting it done this summer. And I just kind of, like, kept on moving down the path, and it felt really good. And then 6 weeks ago, I had my top surgery, and I was probably nervous about it going in, almost like... Like, I was probably nervous right up until I went under. I actually think I was crying when I went under anesthesia. And then I woke up and I was pretty groggy, and I was still wearing this vest to keep everything tight and in, because, you know, I just had this major surgery and I need to keep everything away from infection. And I was groggy, and then I kind of woke up and I went up to get to the bathroom, and then I looked in the mirror for the first time. And it was one of the most magical experiences I think I've ever felt. I don't know if you've ever heard of the term gender dysphoria, but dysphoria is something that I feel every day. Essentially what it is, it's that kind of separation, right, of my body and my gender, so how my body doesn't match my gender. I have this kind of internal feeling and sense that that's wrong. And it's not a very fun feeling. It doesn't feel good. It's kind of like when you get your hair cut and it does, and you don't like the way that it looks, and you look in the mirror and you're like, well, it's me, but it doesn't feel right. That kind of feeling I feel every day. But after I had my top surgery, I felt this thing called gender euphoria. I felt this thing where I was so happy to be me and felt so beautiful, like so deeply beautiful for the first time in my life. Wow. I'm kind of just like talking off the cuff. I had all this stuff written and I really haven't kept to any of it at all. yeah, you know, I mean, the spirit moves you. What can you do? I guess I'm just being authentic. So I guess I can talk. I mean, I can talk. I've had moments of euphoria for the past year of my life that have been so delightful, and I could tell stories about this for hours. But I guess what I want to focus on a little bit is about what I think about now that I am kind of beyond a certain point of shame. So I've kind of gotten over any of the shame that I felt about being trans. I really let that go around the middle of this past year when I was just starting to trust the process more. you know, and like listen to what I was feeling. I mean, I felt so good with a flat chest, so why would I feel ashamed about that? I can't deny something that's so overwhelmingly me. And now that I've kind of let go of all this shame, I just feel like I can really be myself for the rest of my life. And there's not really anything that's stopping me from continuing to be myself. And, you know, maybe in a year from now, I'm going to realize that I'm actually a man. And maybe in a year from now, I'm going to realize that I want to have bottom surgery, and that I want to go on testosterone, and that I want to grow a beard, and that that's how I want to live my life. I don't know. I really don't know if that's what I want. Right now, that's not what I want, but maybe in 5 years, that's totally going to be what I want. And I used to be really afraid of that. I used to really be really afraid of the idea of being a guy. But now it's like, well, if I were a guy, I'd be happy. You know what I mean? Like anything that I do at this point is going to make me a happier person. And I think that's taught me something about what happiness actually really looks like. Because for so long, I thought I would be happy if I was a woman. And I thought I'd be happy if I matched what everybody wanted me to be like, right? Like I came out of the womb and like they had a pink room ready for me and everything. And I was going to like be this beautiful little girl, and I was going to date guys, and I was going to be a grown woman and like have this certain body and act a certain way. And I thought that really digging into that would make me happy and would make me feel beautiful. But now I see that's not a real happiness. And that's kind of a false truth. And I think now for the first time in my life, I'm truly, truly a happier and more joyful person. And when I look in the mirror, which I do a lot of these days, I kind of like to like lift up my shirt and just like stand in the mirror like this and just like look at myself in the mirror. And I have these big scars. I have these big scars that go right here across my chest. And I love looking at my scars and kind of just like feeling them. I'm doing that right now. It feels nice. and so... You know, now that I can accept that, I see the beauty in myself, and I see the beauty in being trans. I think, you know, we were taught that being trans is kind of being ugly, right? I think when you think of someone, when I used to think of people who were trans, I used to think of them as like, gosh, I mean, a woman with a beard, or you know, a man with boobs. Like, what's that? That's kind of gross. But actually, I think being trans is beautiful. One thing that I want to share with you, and I'm going to keep an eye on the time. Let me know when. Okay, yeah. Okay, got it. One thing that I want to share with you is one of the best things that anybody's ever told me, and something that gives me a lot of trans pride. A friend of mine who's also trans once said to me that caring or prioritizing someone else or someone else's vulnerability is actually a trans thing, because we have this abundance of care, right? We're loving people. But because it's so scary to embody it within ourselves, because our bodies are oftentimes a really scary place to be. So we put it into others and other people's bodies, which may feel more comfortable to us than our own. And I love that, because my body is really scary sometimes, and sometimes I really feel deeply uncomfortable. But I like the idea that by embracing myself, I'm able to put that care into other people. And that only by really accepting the fact that there's no place for it in my own body, I can give it to someone else. All right, I need to, like, wrap it up. So I guess, maybe the last sentence that I'll just say is, like, no, I think I'll just end it there. Yeah.
Like a good Unitarian Universalist, I believe that all of us come into life perfectly formed and wholly innocent. We know that with a baby, what you see is what you get. Babies are incapable of being inauthentic, of hiding their true feelings. If a baby's unhappy, she cries. If she's delighted, she grins and kicks her feet. There's nothing false, and there's no hidden agenda. Just a pure, unencumbered soul. And that's how we all came into this world. But as we each grow up, there are forces from within and from without that begin to assail our perfect little souls. Situations and events that threaten to pull us off center, from our authentic selves. As children, sooner or later, we get our feelings hurt, and we learn that we need to wall off some of the more vulnerable parts of ourselves in order to stay safe. As we mature, social pressures like racism and sexism, homophobia, economic injustice, transphobia begin to chisel away at us from the outside. And while jealousy and fear and self-doubt and resentment begin to gnaw at us from the inside, there are times in some people's lives when they have a sudden realization that they have grown completely out of touch with who they are. They have an identity crisis. Parker Palmer, the Quaker author, shares his theory about how this happens. He says, most of us can make a long list of the external enemies of the soul, but often we conspire in our own deformation. For every external power bent on twisting us out of shape, there is a potential collaborator within us. When our impulse to tell the truth is thwarted by threats of punishment, it is because we value security over being truthful. When our impulse to side with the weak is thwarted by threats of lost social standing, it is because we value popularity over being a pariah. The powers and principalities would hold less sway over our lives if we refused to collaborate with them. But refusal is risky. So we deny our own truth, take up lives of self-impersonation, and betray our identities. Palmer goes on to list some examples of ways that we may be living in inauthentic or divided life. When we remain in relationships that steadily kill off our spirits, or when we hide our true beliefs from those who disagree with us in order to avoid conflict, or when we conceal our true identities for fear of being criticized, shunned, or attacked. I can think of several situations in my own life when I have denied my own truth because I wanted to avoid an argument or an uncomfortable conversation. I'm pretty sure that is something that most of us have done from time to time. But I know that at least for me, that is, it's not comfortable. I've discovered that my body knows when my words or my actions don't match how I'm feeling inside. I get a gnawing sensation in my stomach that warns me that I'm not being authentic, that I'm not in my integrity. I'm a terrible liar. I am hilariously dreadful at poker. There is danger, though, when we lose touch with this discomfort, or we become comfortable with the discomfort. When we have lived divided so long that we are no longer able to tell what the truth is anymore. I learned about horses when I was living in rural Grass Valley. I was fascinated to discover that horses are very sensitive to emotional subtleties in humans. They're known to pick up on inauthentic behavior in people. In an essay, Jill Nymark tells about her experience getting acquainted with horses at a ranch in Arizona. And she explains that horses are perfectly willing to accept us as we are, as long as we are emotionally congruent, honest about our emotions rather than masking them. Even when we are incongruent, these animals, they don't judge so much as retreat. Horse trainer Linda Kohanov explains how horses are able to sense this incongruity. She says, emotions are the messengers of authenticity. If you mask your real feelings or override them with logic, you're conflicted. At that point, the horse will usually walk away. That's what I call horse wisdom, the ability to feel incongruence and lack of authenticity, and not to engage with it. She goes on to say that people can fool me and mesmerize me with words and a really fine resume. Anyone who wants to do a business deal with me has to come meet my horses. Rachel Naomi Remen is a doctor and an early pioneer in the mind-body health movement. And she sees the importance of living authentically from a medical standpoint. She says, healing may not be so much about getting better as it is about letting go of everything that isn't you and becoming who you are. I love that phrase, becoming who you are. On one hand, it evokes an effortless inevitability, so that if we just stop striving to become some perfect image of who we think we should be, or who our parents wanted us to be, or who our partner wishes that we were, we can relax into who we really are. The Latin word for personality, persona, is mask. The personality, self, is like a mask that has to be recognized first and then released so that we can realize and experience our authentic self underneath. I love that image that we found for the cover of today's Order of Service. There's a certain level of courage that this process demands. What if we let go of everything that isn't ourselves, that we remove the mask and discover who we are underneath is unlovable? That's the fear, isn't it? It can be terrifying to come out as queer, transgender, polyamorous, knowing that many people in the world will judge you negatively and push you out of the circle of warmth, caring, and acceptance. The truth is that many queer kids are kicked out of their homes when they come out to their parents. The rate of queer teens in the homeless population is staggering. The rates of suicide in this population are heartbreaking. I know what it is to be shunned and pushed out of a community. And yet, as I have lived into my true self and claimed all of the parts of me that are real, I have grown both more peaceful and more powerful. One of the added benefits of this radical self-acceptance is that as we grow into ourselves as unique, quirky people, we also learn to honor and cherish the unique quirkiness of others. We stop being as judgmental and instead increase our capacity for curiosity and compassion. Authenticity is magnetic. When you share your real self with someone else, it invites them to be real with you in return. So I hope that we can let this place, this community, be a place where you can practice taking off the mask. Look around at these people here. No, really. Look around at these people here for just a minute. They are here in part because they want to know the real you, the authentic, quirky person that you really are. And I know that they want you to know who they really are too. We say it together every week. Love is the spirit of this congregation. The quest for truth is its sacrament. Let us invite one another into the sacredness of open-hearted, authentic relationship. Let us open the doors and windows of our hearts to one another and invite love, that love with a capital L, to move in and through us. Amen. May it be so. Blessed be.